This program is transcribed from its earlier network broadcast.
What's the name?
John Hancock.
What's the program?
Point Sublime. Point Sublime. Presented by the John Hancock Mutual Life Insurance Company. Starring Cliff Arquette and Mel Blanc, Point Sublime is written and produced by Robert L. Redd. Point Sublime. Just a moment, we'll tell you the human story of a fellow named Ben Willett. But first, meet your friendly John Hancock agent.
Well, friend, spring is here. And if, like most folks, you're looking forward to the future with renewed hope, why not start planning to get those good things you want out of life? If you've been hoping for a home of your own, leisure to fish and play golf, or an extra source of income to make up for reduced earning power later on, here's a suggestion. Talk with your friendly John Hancock agent. Ask him about the new John Hancock Personal Security Plan. Why, by setting aside only a few dollars a week, this simple plan does double duty. It helps you realize your personal ambitions, and as life insurance, it helps protect your family's future. So let your John Hancock agent assist you in planning a future that's serene and secure for your loved ones and for yourself.
Now for the human story of a fellow named Ben Willett. Like many cities and towns today, Point Sublime, too, has its almost forgotten heroes. Since the war's end, the son of Aaron and Sarah Saul has undergone numerous operations, but Sam is still blind. Now there is a new hope. By long-distance telephone, an appointment has been confirmed for tomorrow with a noted San Francisco eye surgeon. Ben, Mooney, Evelyn Hanover, and Howie McBriar are all at the Saul residence discussing the matter of the journey with the Sauls and Sammy's young wife, Sharon.
Yes, yes, but you don't understand.
Now look, folks, it's almost 1 o'clock. We got to decide.
Yes, yes, Ben, but...
Hey, the train for San Francisco comes through at 4:30.
Mooney, please. But who will make the trip with Sammy?
Please, Papa, don't get so excited.
It will work out, Mr. Saul.
Well, I, for one, positively will go with Sam.
Yes, Sharon, it's your place to be with your husband. Now, I think...
Papa, I insist. You go with Sam.
No, Mama, no, you're not well, Sarah.
We'll look out for Mrs. Saul, Aaron.
Of course.
No, no, thank you, everybody. But even for my boy, I couldn't go away and leave Mama now.
Oh, I almost wish I hadn't come home.
Now, Sammy, don't say those things.
Well, I come home and I upset everybody. Everybody gets...
Sharon can go, and one of our good friends.
Well, Sammy's my friend. We went to high school together. I'll go.
You'll stay here and run the store, Mooney.
Well, but Sammy's my pal, aren't you, Sammy?
Yeah, sure, Mooney. Look, if somebody has just put me on the train, I'll make the trip okay.
Oh, no, Sammy. Oh, now, wait. Too much talk. Somebody has to take over.
Then you get things organized.
All right. Sharon and I'll take Sammy to see the doctor.
Benny should be the one to go. He telephoned and made all the arrangements with that Dr. Ostrander.
How long will you be gone to San Francisco?
Well, it all depends, sir.
Yeah, maybe we'll be back the next day. Maybe there's no use even to go.
Now, Sam, don't keep looking on the dark side.
You've got to have faith, Sammy.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything about the operation except what Mr. Willett told me he read in a magazine article, but... What if they can't locate a cornea to transplant my eyes?
Well, of course.
Maybe we better call the whole thing off.
Call it off?
Oh, no. What's troubling you, Sam?
I'm not feeling sorry for myself. But at least I've got used to the idea of not ever being able to see again. Now this brilliant idea comes along.
Well, gee, Sam, if we're intruding in any way...
You must think I'm mighty ungrateful, Mr. Willett.
Well, no.
What if that doctor operates and I go through all that and build up my hopes and then it's a failure? Well, I'm not sure I can take it this time.
Sammy?
Yes, Papa.
When you talk this way, you're not talking like my son.
What?
I've got to look back a few years ago and remember what you used to be like. No matter what happened then, I never heard you complain.
Who's complaining?
Sammy, you've changed. I've got to say it here in front of all our friends. You've changed in the last few years, and some of the changes are not good.
Yeah.
Let me finish what I don't like to say to my son.
Papa, please, no.
Sammy, Nobody in this room has forgotten that you went away almost 5 years ago to fight for Mama and Papa and everybody in this country.
Oh, quit it, Papa. Who cares about that now?
And since you came back, the days of waiting, the hospitals, the operations that didn't work, everything has been hard on you, Sam. And although maybe we don't speak about it to you, we do not forget for 1 minute how you feel. It is all a long time for you, and it is a terrible thing which breaks your Papa's heart, but... But something else hurts Papa even more.
What?
You have turned bitter.
Oh.
Maybe you think you've got a right to be bitter, but no, Sammy. Not when everyone is ready and willing to help you in every way possible.
Yeah, but...
You got medals, Sammy, and Mama has put them away in the bureau drawer.
She can throw them away.
You got medals in the war for being brave. Well, a real man has to keep on being brave when he comes home from the war. Not just the first month or the first year, but always... Yeah, you got to be brave, Sammy.
That's easy for you to say, Papa. You don't know what it's like not to see. So maybe I'm not brave. How can I be?
You can be brave by keeping your mind away from bitter thoughts. You can be brave by having hope and faith. Faith in your Papa and your Mama and your friends who are trying to help you. And you got to have faith in God, too, Sammy.
Yeah, I suppose.
Your father's right, Sam.
Papa's always right.
No, Papa's not always right, but Papa's Papa, and you're still a little boy, and even though you have been a big man and went away to war and the hospitals and everything, when you are home, Sammy, Papa is Papa, and he will not have you losing courage and turning sour on the world. That's not the kind of a boy Papa raised you to be. Sometimes I think better even you didn't come back from the war.
Oh, Papa, shame.
I mean it.
You better sit down, Mr. Saul.
Samuel, once before I told you these things, I say them this one time more. You got to take hold, Sammy. You got to want to go to San Francisco and let the new doctor try one more time to help your eyes. Not only for you, but for us. For us. Well, Sammy.
I'll go, Dad.
Yeah, but do you really want to go?
Yeah. Now, maybe I do have faith. At least hope that new Doc can do something.
Oh, you are wonderful.
My boy, now he's talking like the old Sam.
Yes.
You see? Papa is Papa, and Papa knows something.
Hey, if we're going to catch the 4:30 train, we better go in there and get ready.
Mooney, you are not catching any train.
Yeah, that's what I say. We better go and get ready.
Is your blue chalk stripe suit pressed, Ben?
Gee, I'll have to check on that, Evie.
I'll lend you my big calf-eyed suitcase, Bennett.
Well, thanks, Howie.
I can take all the stuff I need in a shoebox.
Mooney, you're going to stay and run my store.
He thinks I'm going to stay and run the store.
If for no other reason, young man, I wouldn't take you along because last week you gave me that sleeping pill. Knocked me out. Honest, Evie, it wasn't my fault I didn't keep that date with you.
Never mind, Ben. This is no time to talk about it.
Yes, ma'am.
Look, I'll pack your things, Sam, right away. Maybe Mama should get up and iron a fresh shirt or something for my boy.
Well, you got to rest, Mama. I'm all set.
Come on, Evie, Howie, Mooney, let's go to my store and get me packed.
Oh, boy. When I get to the big city, I'm going to go and see what a nightclub is like inside.
You're not going. If you were, you'd never get into a nightclub. You wouldn't know how to act.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
I'm more sophisticated than you think. I get it from my grandfather Sturgis. Yeah, Grandpa liked his fun, yeah.
Yeah,
once they made Grandpa Sturgis go to a doctor. And the doctor asked him if he drank whiskey.
What'd your grandpa tell the doc?
He said, sure. And then the doc told him if he cut it out, he'd live to be 80.
What'd your grandpa say to that?
He said, it's too late now. I'm 85. I'm going to San Francisco with
Stanley. Believe me, Mooney, you're not going anywhere. Well, I'll see you folks at the depot.
Okay,
Ben.
Goodbye. Well,
Mother's getting off of this car right here. Come on, folks.
Hold tight for Papa's arm, Sammy.
Yes, Dad, thanks.
You understand?
Yeah, I'll take over now. Here's a handrail, Sam. You got it?
Okay.
Oh, wait, Sammy. I'll open the door into the Pullman car for you.
Goodbye,
now, you telegraph us any news there. Yeah, I will, Ernie. And Harry, when you go back down to the store, see if you can find that fool Mooney somewhere.
Oh, he's around there someplace.
Well, I got to go now. Go home and sit with Mama and wait till we're here, huh?
Say, Howie, I'm worried about Mooney. Where could he have disappeared to?
Search me. Down at the store, I reckon, pouting because he couldn't go. Here, step into my sedan, folks.
Out there. Country sure is pretty. First green grass cover and everything.
I always like spring.
Oh, hey, look at those old cows standing out there in that fish here.
Oh, yeah, they make such a peaceful picture, Sammy.
Yeah. Gosh, maybe next time I ride on the train, I'll be seeing things too. Well, Mr. Willett, we're really on our way, aren't we?
Yes, Sam.
An appointment with that doctor's tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock?
That's right.
What do we do first, Mr. Willie?
Give you an examination.
Well, the doctor has to decide whether Sammy's eyes can be operated on, doesn't he?
Yeah. From what I found out, less than 40 out of every 100 folks who are blind can be helped by an operation on the cornea.
Yeah?
Oh, you'll be one of those lucky 40, I know,
Sam. I think so. Mr. Willett.
Yeah?
When will I find out if the operation's successful? I mean, how much waiting is there after the operation?
Well, I guess it varies. You have to lie flat on your back in the hospital about 10 days.
Well, when do they take off the bandages?
Usually at the end of the 14th day.
14 days from now. 15 counting today. I may be able to see again. Holy mackerel.
Well, no, Sam. You might have to figure a little more time.
More time?
Why?
Well, we might have to wait till the doctor can locate a cornea to make the graft firm.
Oh. Well, just where do they get the cornea they'll make the windows for my eyes from?
There are a lot of good people in the world, Sam.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain where...
Well, Sam, the corneas for the transplant usually come from a person who has just passed away.
Oh.
They usually come from somebody who left signed instructions willing his corneas... so some blind person might see again.
Does the doctor know where to get such corneas?
Well, I don't know, Sheriff.
And if you can't get a cornea, you can't operate.
Gosh. Well, Sam, you got to realize, if the examination proves you can be operated on, if there isn't a cornea available, then, well, you may just have to go on back home and wait for Dr. Ostrander to call us. Later.
Oh.
You see, Sam, the way I figure it, that most of the... Hey!
Mr. Willett, look, coming down the aisle.
Cracker jerk.
Hello, folks. August, Moon, what are you doing on this train?
I'm going to San Francisco.
Hey, is it Mooney?
Yeah, hiya, Sammy.
How'd you get on this train?
I climbed on the last car. Hiya, Mr. Willett.
I got a notion to split your jacket someday.
Sit down, Mooney. I'm glad you're going along.
Here, sit down by me, Mooney.
Oh, gee, thanks, Sharon.
Here we are off on a serious trip and...
Gee, Sammy, you remember when you was quarterback on the Point Sublime High School football squad?
That was quite a few years back, Moonflower.
Yeah, you were quarterback and I was water boy.
You really gave Vernon the trouncing that last year, though, huh, Moonflower?
Sammy always called me Moonflower.
Oh, doggone it, Mooney. I don't know where you're going to stay. I got reservations for only 3 people.
Oh, I'll sleep on the floor in your room, Mr. Willa.
No, you're just a doggone bother. Sakes. What'd you have to come and butt in for?
Well, I thought maybe you might need me.
Need you? Don't be crazy. Need you for what?
Well... Gee, I got to thinking after I read that article in the magazine.
You read the article about the eyes?
Yeah. When I found out how hard it was to get those cornies, why, I...
It was?
Don't they call them cornies?
He means cornies.
No, what about it, sakes?
Well, then, me and Sammy were always good friends and pals. Weren't we, Sammy?
Yes, sure we were.
So this time I figured maybe I might come in handy.
What you mean, handy?
Well, you know how it's always bothered me because I couldn't get in the service and go and fight for my country like Sammy Saul and Abbott Powers and some of the other fellas did.
Yeah?
Well, maybe I can be of some use now, even this late. I mean, if they can't find a corny, it's put in Sammy's eyes.
What are you talking about?
Well, Sammy, I got two good eyes, and I see wonderful with them. And you can't see with either of yours, and, well, if they can't find a corny anywhere else, well, I thought maybe they could, well, take one of mine for you, and... And then we could both see, couldn't we? Huh? Hey, what's everybody looking at me for?
Oh, you darling.
Gosh, Moonflower, you are a pal, aren't you?
Oh, gee, kid, now I'm glad you are on this trip with us. Why, say, I'm going to show you a good time when we get to San Francisco. I'm going to show you the sights.
You will?
Yeah. Oh, gee. Why, when we get Sammy in good hands, I'll rent a car and I'll drive you all over the city.
Oh, no. I'd be afraid to do that.
Afraid of what?
Well, I'm afraid of driving in big cities. You know what? Once I was driving my car through a big city, and did I ever get into trouble?
What happened, Mooney?
Well, I was driving in heavy traffic, and a guy bumped into me. And I got out, and we had a big argument.
Really?
Yeah, he broke my nose and blackened my eyes. It was getting terrific going over.
Why didn't you call a cop?
He was a cop. I got you on that one. Oh, boy, we're going to San Francisco, and I'm going, too.
Oh, that Mooney, what a great little guy.
A few words from Point Sublime's friendly John Hancock agent, Webb Tyler. Webb?
Say, tell me, Art, who do you think will be our next president?
Oh, I wouldn't know, Webb, but say, now that you and Helen are expecting an addition to your family, we may have a new presidential possibility in our midst.
That's right. That's part of our American tradition, the realization that one of our own youngsters might grow up to be president. And we can do a lot to help our children, teach them to stand on their own feet, make the most of their opportunities. For instance, take this helpful booklet titled Your Child Grows Up that the John Hancock Mutual Life Insurance Company is offering to parents absolutely free. This excellent little book helps you give your children every worthwhile opportunity to grow up as sturdy, normal, wholesome youngsters. Like a regular primer for parents, it sets forth the milestones which measure a child's growth, tells you exactly when the normal boy or girl is able to help set the table, or take a bath unassisted, travel alone, or select and read books for enjoyment outside of school. Yes, this compact, clearly written John Hancock booklet, Your Child Grows Up, answers hundreds of practical questions about children age 1 to 18. For your free copy, just write a letter or postcard giving your name and address to John Hancock, Department A, Boston, Massachusetts.
And write tonight, won't you? Because we think every one of you mothers and fathers should have a copy. We'll repeat the address, mail a letter or postcard tonight to John Hancock, Department A, Boston, Massachusetts. And the illustrated booklet, Your Child Grows Up, will reach you promptly, absolutely free. And now part two, Point Sublime. It is the next day, San Francisco. Our friends are settled in their hotel. Ben and Mooney share one room, and young Mr. and Mrs. Sammy Saul have the adjoining room. At this moment, Ben is sitting on a bed making a phone call.
Can't you get Dr. Ostrander, Mr. Willard?
Well, his nurse is calling him the phone now. She said he wanted to talk to me.
He wants to talk to you.
I hope he doesn't want to cancel our 3 o'clock appointment.
Now, don't worry, Sam. Wait a minute. Yeah? Hello? Dr. Ostrander?
Oh.
Yeah, this is Ben Willard. You want to talk to me? Yeah, well, I got in town with our boy about an hour ago. He, you what? Tried to reach its long distance in Point Sublime last night. What's wrong?
Won't he see me?
Oh, quiet, Sam.
Oh. Oh, well, don't you want to see Sammy at 3? Oh, bring him anyway, as long as we're here. Yes, doctor. Yeah. We'll be there. Yes, sir. Bye.
What is it, Mr. Willett?
Well, Sam, he says he telephoned us last night. He talked to Miss Hanover. He tried to stop us from coming.
Stop us? Why?
Well, things haven't worked out quite like he hoped. He hasn't been able to locate a cornea to make a transplant.
But he will give me the examination, won't he?
Yeah, we go over at 3 to his office. He just wanted to save us a trip to San Francisco.
Oh, we'll have the examination at least and find out if my eyes can be operated on.
Mr. Willett.
What, Mooney?
I wasn't kidding about what I said. I'd do anything for my pal, Sammy.
Well, let's not talk now, Mooney. Well, kids, we'll just have to wait till 3, then go over and see the doc.
Well, I presume that...
What is it, Doctor? Can you tell?
Let me take one more look here.
What is that thing you look through, Doc?
It's a biomicroscope.
Yeah?
A slit lamp. This left has the worst scar.
The left side of my face got the full blast from that Jap hand grenade.
You've had 3 operations, you're saying?
Yes, sir.
But you could even operate on one of Sam's eyes.
Well, I'm very conservative about these cornea transplants. I never operate if there's any degree of vision.
Well, I'm your pigeon, Doctor. No lights got through to me since last October.
Well...
Hey, look, Doc, I don't understand much what's going on, but if you can't get a cornea for Sam, and if you can operate on him, I'd be glad to let you take one of mine.
What's that?
Well, you see, Sammy's my pal. He was quarterback on our high school team, and I...
Mooney, son, please.
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
Who, me?
You, yes.
Oh, my name's August Moon. But my pal, Sammy, he calls me Moonflower. Isn't that a funny name? what's the matter with everybody?
So Sam Saul here's your pal, is he?
Oh, sure. He went to that war 3 years ago, but I couldn't go because, well, sometimes I don't talk so good and, well, you get it, huh?
Did I just hear you offer to give your friend one of your...
Yeah, one of my corneas.
Yes, one of your corneas.
Now, look here, I couldn't let Mooney do a thing like that.
Oh, but I got awful good eyesight, Sammy. Real strong eyes, and... Well, Doc, couldn't I see almost as good with just one eye, huh?
Well...
No, sir, I won't have it.
Oh, but Sammy, if you can't get a cornea anywhere else, then if you take one of mine, we can both see.
Oh, Mooney.
You crazy little mutt. If I never see again, I wouldn't let you do that. Gosh, your guy never knows just where his real friends are, does he?
Doc, can you operate on Sam?
Yes. It's the time now.
Oh, you can?
Oh, is there a chance you'll get his sight back?
Well, I've had my share of success with these operations.
Oh, Sharon, baby.
Oh, Daddy.
Hey, but doggone, you can't fix Sammy up if you don't get a corny, Doc.
I'd like to say this. Never in my life have I met as unselfish a chap as this young fella here.
You mean Mooney?
Yes, Mooney.
Oh, I don't care. Cut it out, Doc.
Mr. Saul, I presume you saw a lot of combat action in our last war?
Well, Sam was in the Battle of Tarawa.
He made Guadalcanal and Goon, too.
Those are strange-sounding names now, aren't they? It was quite a while ago.
Well, Sir Sam, a few years ago, when the spirit of patriotism was running high in our blood, we reveled in extravagant words like hero.
Most guys I know who were called heroes were just guys who got their backs to the wall and had to fight their way out or else.
I think maybe I've just learned something here in this room today.
What's that, Doctor?
Maybe all the heroes didn't get to go to war.
Yeah?
I guess Mooney's had it preying on his mind ever since. I mean that he couldn't get into the army.
Yeah, they kept turning me down.
Of course, it's not practical, but it'd be nice if our government would strike off our most handsome medal. Say, an oak leaf cluster of merit to be given with full honors to unselfish people like this chap here.
Mooney?
Yes, Mooney.
Oh, now, Doc, please.
God's little men, who were never really recognized for their full worth. A different type of a hero.
Oh, gosh, I'm no hero.
Well, who's to say? You just offered one of your good eyes so a former war hero might see again.
Yeah, but Sammy's my pal.
Yes, sir, I've just learned a great lesson in humility. I'm glad to meet this fella. You're a rare individual, August Moon.
Oh, gee, I am? Oh, no, I'm not.
Well, Dr. Ostrander, what's the next move? Do I go home and wait some more?
Well, you see, pardon me, my phone. Yes? Long distance? I bank in New York. Well, yes, Miss Anderson, connect at once.
I bank?
Yes, I've been checking with him for a week, ever since I made this appointment with you. Just a moment. Hello? Yes, Dr. Ostrander speaking. Yes? You have? Good. Why, certainly I want it. Air Express it today, American Airlines. Excellent. Then I'll make plans to operate on my patient tomorrow night. Very well, sir. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Good news, Sam.
What is it?
What, Doc?
That was a report from the eye bank for sight restoration in New York City.
Yes?
They've located a healthy cornea. It's being shipped to Air Express. I'll reserve a room for you at St. Luke's Hospital at once. I'll operate tomorrow night. 10 o'clock.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, gee, Doc, wonderful. Say, who is this eye bank, or whatever you call it? We got to call him and thank him.
Yes, sure.
I think you'd be interested. The Eye Bank for Sight Restoration, Incorporated, in New York City, is a non-profit organization. It's recognized by the American Medical Association, and it acts as a clearinghouse for available corneas to be used in this difficult operation.
Yeah, well, how do you mean operates as a clearinghouse?
Well, it has a record of good people who are willing to donate the corneas of their eyes when they're through using.
When they die?
Yes. When a doctor who's qualified to do this operation makes a request, they supply the cornea. They ship it to the Red Cross agency in this city, which delivers it promptly.
You know, when I get home, I want to write that outfit a letter. Make him a pledge. Never going to tell when an old fool like me is going to be done using his peekers. Well, what do we do now, Doc?
Well, Mr. Willard, I'm going to drive Sam over to the hospital now. I want to get him bedded down, relaxed. Yes, Sam?
You're the doctor.
You operate tomorrow night at 10?
Tomorrow night, and God grant us success so your young man may see you.
My young man. And my husband. Oh, Sam.
I've got a great faith now, Doctor. My father, back home in Point Sublime, said I should have faith. Well, I do have faith. If anybody can help me see again, it's you, Doctor.
Modern medical miracles are sometimes wrought by a strange formula.
What do you mean, Doc?
Skill and prayer, Mr. Willie.
Yeah.
Well, now what are the rest of you people going to be doing?
We'll go to the hospital with Sam.
You just leave Sam to me. First, I'm taking him over to my favorite chop house on New Montgomery Street for a big steak with sautéed mushrooms and French fried onions.
Cut it out, Doc. You're making me hungry.
Then we'll drive to the hospital with the top down on my convertible. Sam, you're going to be so full of good food and fresh air that when you hit that hospital bed, you will sleep like a newborn baby.
I wonder why I ever got so down on the world. Whatever you say, Doc. Hey, you folks go on, huh? Okay, Sharon?
Okay, Sam.
Why don't you folks go out tonight and have some fun?
Hey, what do you say, Sharon?
Yes.
Hey, you mean we're going out tonight and take town we'll kick up our heels, huh?
By golly, we'll do it. Sharon and Mooney and me, and next time you'll be with us, Sam.
I really think so.
Well, be it, Sam, and I don't need you.
Oh, goodbye, Sam, dear. I'll be seeing you.
From the looks of things, Sharon, I'll be seeing you. Bye.
There's just one thing I'd like to ask, if you don't mind.
Well, sure, Doc.
I mean Mooney.
Oh?
Mooney.
Yes, sir.
How does it happen you and Sam are such solid friends? I mean, you were willing to make such a great sacrifice for him. I don't get it.
Well, gee, Doc, Sammy and I went to high school together, didn't we, Sammy?
We sure did.
And, Sammy was nicer than any of the other kids. You see, Doc, Sammy was the only kid in school who never, Sammy never ever made fun of me on account of the way I... Well, you know. Hiya, Sammy.
Hiya, Moonflower.
He always calls me Moonflower.
I think I understand.
Oh, gee, Doc Ostrander.
What's that, Mr. Willard?
Eat people the ones. Yeah.
gentle friends, all you parents of children from the age of 1 to 18, to receive a complimentary copy of the informative, illustrated booklet entitled Your Child Grows Up, all you have to do is send a letter or postcard to John Hancock, Department A, Boston, Massachusetts. Be sure to write down your own name and address and mail your request promptly for this helpful manual called Your Child Grows Up. You will receive your free copy without delay.
We'll repeat that address, John Hancock, Department A, Boston, Massachusetts. Write tonight. Ask for the helpful scientific booklet, Your Child Grows Up. Point Sublime is written and produced by Robert L. Redd and stars Cliff Arquette and Mel Blanc, with the original cast including Jane Morgan, Earl Ross, Vincent Pelletier, Lou Merrill, Sharon Douglas, Harry Bartell, Celeste Rush, and John McIntyre. Music is under the direction of Charles Dent. This is Art Gilmore saying goodnight to you from the thousands of friendly agents of the John Hancock Mutual Life Insurance Company. Next Monday night at this same time, tune in again to Point Sublime. Good night.
Point Sublime was transcribed earlier for presentation at this time. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.